Good morning. What a day God has given us today, amen. A little bit of rain, a little bit of sunshine. We'll take the rain for a while. But man, we could use some more. We really could. My family and I were camping out at Red Hill. Pulled the camper over there yesterday when it was hot. We should have waited a day, I guess. But we're out there. Want to be closer during VBS. I haven't got a chance to do anything with the kids because of the coronavirus. How many campers we have here? All right, back row, there's some right here. All right. Camping's fun. Our camper's been pretty much stayed at home, not being able to use. Campers and boats and swimming pools are all alike. If you don't use them, they go bad. You know that's true, but we're getting a chance to camp. And if you want to run out there, we're at Lot 46, Ryder Down, and you can visit with us anytime. But looking forward to VBS this week. So the next couple weeks, I want to focus on kids, okay? A lot of times we focus on ourselves. We tend to ignore kids, but you know what? This coronavirus has been just as tough on them as what it's been on us. And for 2 weeks now, I want to focus on them. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Proverbs 22. And I want to focus on verse 6, very common passage of Scripture. You've heard it a million times. But it's a powerful passage, and I want to focus on it today. Mark Twain once said about kids, when they turn 8 years old, put them in a 55-gallon barrel and cut a hole in the side of it so they can breathe. He said, when they turn 15, seal up the hole. I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what. Kids are fun, ain't they? They're also difficult, but they're a blessing from God, and I want to focus on them today, so I'm glad they're here in our audience with us. Are you all there? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, you can write in your Bibles. I hope you do. I hope you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, you can bring them next week. Start writing in your Bibles, underline, circle, if you will. The verb translated train is shanak in the Hebrew, and it means to put something in your mouth or to give to, taste to. In order to stimulate a newborn's suckling reflex, Hebrew midwives would put something sweet in their fingers and they would rub it at the roof of the mouth for the infant so they would get started nursing. Sometimes nurses and midwives even do that today. They really do. But what does it mean for us and for our children? It means that wise parents will use incentives to stimulate and train their children toward godliness and righteousness, creating a hunger in them to live wise and make wise decisions. Amen. I kind of have a sweet tooth, don't you? Now, I don't know the whole nursing process. I'm not going to get into that. But they want to rub some Reese's candy bar up on top of my upper lip, that'd be just fine with me. But that's what it means. It means to put something in your mouth, to train. Now, this morning, with the time I have, I'll give you a handout. I hope you got that in your bulletins. I want us to come up with some techniques that we can use in better training our children and grandchildren in the future. How many of you have grandchildren here this morning? How many of you have children here this morning? I got most of it covered. How many of you have ever been a child before? I know I got it all covered. Here's number one. Write it down. Correct training commences. What's it mean to commence? To begin, to start. Correct training commences at childhood. Now, the word train here can also be derived from the word dedicate. In other words, I dedicate my child to the Lord. Every once in a while, my family and I get a chance to go to Southeast Christian Church. Anybody ever been there? Fabulous worship. Southeast Christian Church started with 150 people in Louisville, Kentucky. And the minister was Bob Russell. Ever heard of him? I'm sure you have. If you ever get a chance to have him here, get him. He helped build that church with the Lord from 150 to today they are running over 25,000 people. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I thought the first thing also, hey, I'm going to go to this big church. They're not going to know who I am because I'm just a little bitty speck in the midst of a big crowd. But you know what? For 25,000 people, they do a pretty good job at ministering to the individual needs. But one of the things they do out there that I liked was they had baby dedication Sundays. Ever been in a baby dedication Sunday, anyone? And what they do, at the invitation of him, they basically have families come up and they'll bring their young ones, infants, most of them, not all of them, and they will dedicate that child to the Lord. Pretty neat, huh? Actually, it's not just about the child. Now, my take of that is it's also about the parents. Because it's one thing to hope your child stays in church, stays in the Lord, stays in God's Word, and stays righteous and does godly living. But it's another thing for the parents to take the initiative to help that child to live a godly life. Ching and I, whether we're in full-time ministry or not, we make a decision that our kids are going to be in church. I told you before that my dad had a drug problem. He drugged me to church. I got the same drug problem, and I dragged my kids to church. Whenever we go on vacation, we make sure that we sit down with a map and we would study the map. And like, for instance, Utah, not very many Christian churches in the state of Utah. But we did our study. We studied Utah and we found a Christian church. And we made sure that we got up on Sunday morning and we drove probably an hour. We went to a Christian church in Utah. And it was a wonderful time of worship. But we just made a conscious decision that every Lord's Day, not only would Ching and I be in church, but our family would, our kids. Do you know that my kids never ask if they can stay home from church? Never happens. Because they already know the answer. What is the answer? No, it's not going to happen. When I preached at Clay City during Wednesday Bible study, we didn't know what to do with Zachary because they didn't have a ministry for one- and two-year-old kids. So the elders said, well, you can bring him to Bible study. So we brought Zachary to Bible study, and Bill Stacer, he just grabbed on to Zachary. They have a good relationship even today. And he would let Zachary climb on the tables during my Bible study. Now, I'll tell you what, it's hard to concentrate when your son's goo-goo-gag-gag on the table. But we didn't have much trouble, Zachary. He never cried when he was an infant. He cries more now. Nah, he's a pretty good kid. But you know what? I'm glad they let me do that. Because I'll never forget that. Bill Stacer will never forget it. And I bet Zachary will never forget it. Even though he was 2 years old, 1 and 2 years old, he got to climb around the tables. Ching and I knew that if we were going to start our children out on the Lord, it had to start with early age, very early. And if your kid is not quite born, you know you need to pray for that kid even before they're born. You need to pray who their mate's going to be. You need to pray what kind of job they're going to have when they get in the employment world. You need to pray for your kid before they are ever born. And when they're born, pray like mad, right? Keep praying. Pray for your kids and your grandkids and start at a very young age. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten or discipline your son or daughter while there is still hope. In other words, while they're still young. Often I hear parents say this, I just don't know what to do with my son or a daughter. I just don't know what to do with them. Well, if they're 18 years old and they're 200 pounds, it might be a little too late to start doing something with your son or your daughter. I hope your daughter don't weigh 200 pounds. It's possible. But you know what? It begins at a very young age. I've also heard parents say this, well, my son or my daughter is 18 years old and they're old enough to make their own decision. Can I say baloney? They're not old enough to make their own decision. I've seen some bonehead decisions that 18-year-olds have made. Have you? So when my son or daughters get to the age where they're 18, Dad, I'm 18 years old, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. You have no idea what you're doing. And get this, if they're 18 years old, they're still a teenager. If they're 19 years old, they're still a teenager. And even when they're 20, they still make some pretty dumb decisions. Amen? We need to watch our children. And not just till they turn 18. Keep watching them. All the days that you're here, keep watching your son, your grandson, your daughter, your granddaughter. Someone has said this, when your kids are young, they're like little angels. They don't need correcting. They're innocent. Someone else said this about that. Yeah, as their legs get longer, their wings get shorter. I like that. Let me encourage you today to train up your child or your grandchild right now while they're young so that when they're older, they won't depart from it. Number two, second technique in training a child, learn to correct with consistency. The word train carries with it a much bigger word than just teach. It carries with it the word correct or discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Now, I always tell you, write in your Bibles. Make sure you write in your Bibles today. Here it is. Circle the word careful. That's a huge word. Because when we are correcting our children, we need to do it with great care. With great care and consistency. What does it mean to discipline very carefully? How many of you would agree with me that discipline is a huge thing? It really is. I see kids running around. Matter of fact, I'll use one illustration from Princeton. A friend of ours, they're moving from their house too. They've been in their house just a little bit longer than us. So both of us have been in our house less than a year. That's a lot of moving, a lot of shaking going on. But anyway, they're moving into this house, and the kids went around and they punched holes in the wall. Every room in that house, they punched holes in the drywall. And I'm thinking, ooh, where's my paddle? I'll take care of them kids. But mom and dad just let them go and let them do whatever they want. I want to tell you something. They got a long future ahead of them. They let their kids do whatever they want, they're going to do it. And they're going to pay for it. Because they're not disciplined with the consistency. One of the biggest mistakes that we've made in America is we've taken the paddle out of school. Can I get an amen? I don't know if they used it so much that wore it out when I was in school. But you know what? When they took the paddle out of school, our kids, they get no discipline at school. Because they can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want to some degree. I used to drive a school bus. Anybody ever drive a school bus? Oh my. And this whole thing was going on when I was driving. They took the paddle out of school. There's no discipline. You couldn't touch my kid. You couldn't say this to my kid. So I was having some trouble with a couple kids on the bus. You can't touch me. I'll tell my dad. You know what I told him? You sit down and be quiet. I don't care if you tell your dad or not. They don't pay me enough to keep this job. And I put the fear of God in him. I scared him to death. But you know what? He was right. I couldn't touch him. They could sue me. Now that's sad, isn't it? One of the things that I was doing in the shop one day, I had a piece of wood and I was cutting it out. And Zachary came out there and he said, "Dad, can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you making, Dad?" And I said, "Well, you'll find out soon enough." And I kept cutting. And it came into the shape of a paddle. And he said, "Dad, is that a paddle?" He said, "Dad, is that a paddle for me?" I said, "Could be." He said, "Dad, can we make something else?" Do Ching and I paddle our children? Yeah. They'll tell you they've all three gotten paddles before. Is it hard for me to paddle? Yeah, I don't like to do it. But you know what? They need it. And I believe that God gave us more padding back there for a reason, so that we could be disciplined by our parents. And you know what? If you didn't get a paddle in your life, you're lucky, because you probably needed it. You really did. I know I did. Here's some verses that I want you to write down. Some of them are on the screen, not all of them. Hebrews 12:6. Whom the Father loves, He also chastens, He disciplines. Proverbs 22:15. Folly or wickedness is bound up in the heart of a child. Wow. Proverbs 15:15b says, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Proverbs 23:13 says, Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. It's important, isn't it, for us to discipline our children, but we must do it with consistency. Number three, a third godly technique in raising your child is this: communicate with creativity. Some parents spend more time training their dog than what they do training their child. Now, don't laugh, because there's a lot of truth to that. They spend a lot of time training that dog, make sure he goes out at the right time, make sure he scratches the door when he's got to go pee, and he comes back in at a certain time. But you know, they spend a lot of time, they take their dog to dog training, they spend hundreds and thousands of dollars of training that dog, and their child is sitting at home in mischief, and they're ignoring their children while they're disciplining their dog. Do you think I'm serious? It happens. I hate to mention the town of Mount Carmel, because that's where I'm from. There's a lot of money that is poured into the dog kennel at Mount Carmel. And I got two dogs. I now have inherited a black poodle, and I don't like poodles. I have a Boston Terrier, and he's a man dog. And that poodle, I don't want to talk about it. But Mount Carmel, they pour more money into a crazy dog kennel than what they do our schools, where our children need to get an education. Is that happening here in Lawrence County? Probably will be. That's sad. Look at this verse again. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now the word way in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, refers to the bending of a bow. How many bow hunters we have here? Any bow hunters? I know there's some out in the foyer that bow hunt. And if you'll notice, every bow that is made with wood has its own unique bend. Have you noticed that about a bow? They're actually teaching bow in our high schools and colleges now, some of them. I think that describes a child perfectly, don't you? Because, everybody say it with me, not every child is the same. I don't discipline Zachary the way I will Macy or Gracie or vice versa. They're all different. Some of you might be thinking this: my child is not bent, he's warped. And that may be true, but here's the deal. If that's true, they take special discipline. They take special time. And sometimes they need special help. Agree? Need professional help. Ching and I figured out something about our children. They're all special. They're all loved. They're all unique. They're all completely different. I got to be careful, don't I? You have to be careful if you have kids and grandkids as well. You need to examine them and figure out how you discipline this one compared to how you discipline that one. And be consistent in that. I guess you heard about the teacher who asked her kids in class what they wanted to be when they grew up. One boy said, I want to be the President of the United States. Another one said, I want to be a fisherman. Another one said, I want to be a fireman. Another one said, I want to be a police officer. I wouldn't want to do that right now, would you? Another one said, I want to be a teacher. But when it came Billy's turn to answer what he wanted to be, he said, I want to be possible. And the teacher said, what are you talking about, Billy? What's that mean, you want to be possible? And Billy said, my mom says I'm impossible. He said, so when I grow up, I want to learn how to be possible. Don't laugh, we've all been there before. I don't know about that, but we need to be creative in communicating discipline and instruction and training to our children and grandchildren. Some kids, they learn through spoken word. You ever been around kids like that? You who teach Sunday school, you know what I'm talking about. You say something and they got it. Other kids, they learn through written word. Write it down on the chalkboard or smart board. That was me. Anyone else? I had to write it down in order to remember it. Some kids learn through repetition. Zachary, take out the trash. Zach, take out the trash. Zach, take out the trash. They learn that way. Still others learn through word pictures. if you draw a picture for a kid, they'll remember it forever. Everybody's different. In school, there were some of my classmates who learned through lecture form. Whatever the professor said, they stored it up in their memory banks. They made me sick. They never forgot anything. How many of you learn through lecture? I'm glad you didn't raise your hand. That's the way they were. Isaiah has something interesting to say concerning this technique. Isaiah 28:9 says, it's actually asking a question. Who is it he is trying to teach? To whom is he explaining the message? To children weaned from milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is do. Rule upon rule upon rule. A little here and a little there. You see the sarcasm there? But isn't that the way it is? You learn a little bit this way, and you learn a little bit this way, and you do this for this child, and you do that for that child, and you got to be creative in how you do that. Remember, every child's different. Learn to be creative in communicating and training and teaching your children and grandchildren. Number four, commence at childhood, correct with consistency, communicate with creativity, and fourth and finally, continue with confidence. That's tough. You ever feel like throwing in the towel? You ever did this? I give up. How many of you have ever did that? Both of you? I know. Now you may be thinking, well, my kids are beyond repair. I want you to know you're wrong. All kids are beyond repair, amen? They can be fixed. Now, you may not know this about this phrase in Proverbs 22:6. When he is old. How many of you consider yourself old? All right, I knew some hands would go up there. But you know, this is not referring to old age or decrepitancy or the last phase of your life. He's not talking about that. What he's talking about when he says when he is old, it is actually referring to when he gets a little hair on the chin. That's how that's interpreted. Little hair. Now some of you got gray hair, but it's way before that. When he starts shaving. That's what Solomon's talking about. When he is old, he will not turn from it. In reality, let's just be honest. We have about 18 years, right? We have about 18 years, and if Lawrenceville is anything like any other small town, when they get 18, where they go? They're out of here. Is that true? Have you seen it to be true? They go to college away from here, and you know what? A lot of them don't come back, do they? Some of them do, and that's great, but a lot of them, when they're gone, they're gone. And you're thinking, where'd the time go? You ever ask that question? Where'd the time go? 18 years is like a flash, and now they're gone. Hey, I have a kid turning 16. Pray for me. But you know what? When we were camping this week, Ching and I was thinking the same thing. It seems like we just started camping yesterday. But we've been camping for a long time, but our kids have grown up right in front of our should I say, right at our table. They've grown up very quick. And you know what? In 2 more years, he's going to be going to college. And I'm thinking, can we back up? Can we slow down just a little bit? You ever wanted that? Can we just do that? In reality, we have about 18 years. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for them to veer off the path in 18 years? Is it possible for them to go their own way and go down the wrong path? Have you seen it happen? Is it possible? It's possible. I'm telling you today, it happens every day. I know friends I went to high school with, and they are continued down the wrong path. They have messed their life up. They messed their family's life up. And it is a sad occurrence when I see that happen. But here's the deal. They can come back. We don't have time to go into the parable of the lost son. But remember what happened when the lost son came back to his father after eating with the pigs, eating the pods? What did the father do to him? Did he scorn him? Did he spank him? No. He threw a big party. Killed the fatted calf. Put a nice robe around his body. You know what? You want to know why? Because he was happy. He was happy that his son came back. And maybe you're here this morning, you have a son or a daughter that has gone down the right path. I got good news for you. God allows U-turns. He really does. So my advice to you this morning is just keep on praying. Pray, pray, pray. Amen. Just keep on praying. And don't ever give up. James 5:20 says, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover over a multitude of sin, a bunch of sin. You think God cares about our kids and our grandkids? Remember Jesus saying these words, unless you become like one of these little ones. And I truly believe that a child that dies before the age of accountability, whether that's in the womb or 6, 7, 8 years, I truly believe they're in heaven. Anyone else? I believe that. But there are some that are beyond 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, I go on and on, that are continuing down the wrong path. I want you to know that God does allow U-turns. You continue to pray for your child, your grandchild, your son or your daughter, that God will straighten their path out. One of my favorite songs was written by Harry Chapin in 1974. Anybody remember the name of the song? Jim does. Cats in the Cradle. Cats in the Cradle, Silver Spoon, Little Boy Blue, and the Man in the Moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. We'll get together then, son. We'll get together then. That song was very popular around the Vietnam War. When soldiers were going off to war and Mom was trying to raise little kids from home. Maybe Harry Chapin had that in mind when he wrote that song. It's a great song. But you know what? I think it's happening today. I think there's a lot of husbands and wives that have gotten so busy with work in their life. Maybe it's their hobby and they've kind of neglected their kid and their kid's gone down the wrong path and it's just hard to replay that over again. We need to spend more time with our kids and our grandkids. We need to spend time with them. We need to discipline them and do it very carefully with creativity. And if they're going down that wrong path, will you please pray for them? Pray that they'll come back to the way of the Lord. I've seen it happen, haven't you? I've seen kids and grandkids come back to God. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. As we come time of our invitation, maybe you're that person that's gone down the wrong path and you need to get back on. The invitation is for you. Maybe you're here this morning, you have a son or daughter that's been going down the wrong path too long. You can come up here this morning. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. That person, that son, that daughter, grandson, granddaughter, will make a U-turn and come back to God. We need that, don't we? We need that. If you need prayer or you need to make a decision for Christ, I can't think of a better day than today. Won't you come as we stand and sing together?